Hi, Sean here. The recording you're about to hear was recorded live with Google Hangouts on the air. So if it's a little bit weird to listen to, that's why. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy the conversation. And we're live. So hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is kind of a special episode of the Laravel podcast. I'm here with Taylor Otwell and Jeffrey Way, and I think yesterday was a kind of a big deal. So Taylor, do you want to talk a little bit about yesterday?
Yes. So yesterday was the official release date for Laravel 5, which has been much anticipated and long in the making. So I think I first demoed Laravel 5 features at Laracon EU in August of last year. So it's definitely been something that's been in progress for a long time, but we finally got it out yesterday.
So how'd it go? Any big hiccups?
No, it was actually really smooth, like probably the smoothest Laravel release we've had, because I think part of that's just because the Laravel core code base has not changed drastically. So there was just less, like when we went from version 3 to 4, we had more like bugs that were found on like those first few days. But I think with the transition from 4 to 5 is a lot less radical under the hood, so we didn't have as many problems. So it was pretty awesome day, actually, pretty smooth.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people made the connection. It's like there are some different things, but the actual API is like identical. So yeah. Other than like there's a couple little things like this method was removed. But other than that, like using Eloquent is going to be almost exactly the same.
Yeah, it's I don't think anything changed.
Well, you know, like things like the remember method was removed.
Hashtags.
If you're using the cache tags method on an Eloquent call, that's removed. So little things like that. But other than that, the actual API is basically identical. So yeah. Mostly it's just like things, I don't know, like adding namespaces and move this from that folder, and now it's going to be in this folder. Stuff like that. So it really wasn't too bad. I migrated Laracast up to Laravel 5. I haven't pushed it yet, but it's done. And it took me about 3 to 4 hours. So like, It's not awesome. It's not like a composer update. But like we were talking, in reality, once every year and a half, maybe, you take a half day and you're done.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy because Matt Stouffer was telling me that he had just read an article. Let me see. He had just read an article where two guys were migrating a large app from Rails 2 to Rails 3, and he said it took two developers a full month. To upgrade from Rails 2 to Rails 3, so
no, totally. Like when I worked at Envato, they the marketplaces were on Rails 2 for a really long time. So like, I think Rails 4 was on the verge of coming out, but they were still on Rails 2. And upgrading was like a massive project. Like they had to plan and devote a lot of time to doing it, especially like for how many sales they were doing with that marketplace. Like it had to be flawless. So it was a massive project.
Yeah.
I don't think this is anything like that.
Yeah. Dude, I heard of a huge site on Laravel. I heard of a huge site on Laravel yesterday. I wish I could talk about it, but they told me I can't mention the name of it, but it was insane. Like I was totally blown away. It was like a top 300 website in the world, like, you know, 15, 20 million hits a day.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I believe it. Remember at Laracon EU last year, they were talking about how this whole Fox Sports platform for like the entire country was built with Laravel. Was it 3?
Yeah, I can't remember.
So anyway, I totally believe it. So we have this Q&A thing going with Google Hangouts. If you want to go ahead and ask questions, we can kind of see them in this tool here. And so maybe you guys want to kind of process some of these questions that people have asked?
Yeah. One question I got, or I've gotten several times, is about how will the release schedule be affected now that Laravel 5 was delayed, like, till February. And kind of my plan there is to just stick to the regular release cycle where we'll have Laravel 5.1 in May, even though that will be obviously a much smaller release. But it just gets us back on schedule in terms of the Symphony components that we use and, more of a predictable schedule. So that's that. And then the next question on the Q&A is, what about the generator packages from Jeffrey's generator Laravel thing? So I'll let Jeffrey tackle that one.
Yeah, okay. So if people aren't familiar, like, man, this was like back in the Laravel 3 days. I made this little, kind of crappy, honestly. I made this little generators package that allows you to run a couple artisan commands to just generate stuff you always create manually. So like if you always created a service provider manually, you just write a command, you'd add a couple arguments, and it would fill up the boilerplate for you. It also had some cool stuff like scaffolding, or when you would create a migration, you could pass through the schema like directly within the artisan command. So as it turns out with Laravel 5, like 90% of all of that package is just irrelevant at this point. Laravel has tons of generators. Like everything you would create at this point, there's a generator for. So like things like you can generate an Eloquent model, a controller, a service provider, a command, a handler. There's like, you know, 8 or 9 of these things. So really, my view is you don't need that package anymore. Like it hasn't even been upgraded for Laravel 5 because I just want to deprecate it at this point. But like the only thing that a lot of people bring up that I think would be cool, and I would be happy to submit a PR for this, is the ability to run a migration or create a migration and specify the schema in the process. That saves a massive amount of time. I don't know. Like, Taylor, I get the feeling you don't like that idea.
I'm not opposed. I don't really care either way. I wouldn't be opposed to that pull request necessarily.
Yeah. It's actually pretty cool. Like this, it wasn't my idea. It comes from the Rails world. So yeah. Like you create users table, and then you'd pass an option fields, and then you'd say like name should be a string, comma, age should be an integer. And then when you actually look at the file that was generated, the schema is already done for you. The down method is already done for you. So it really does save a huge amount of time. That is the package that's kind of cool at this point. But I would recommend to anyone just stop using it.
I personally like live templates for that kind of stuff, but I of course wouldn't be against the commands.
Well, yeah, like back when this was made, we were all using Sublime. There's still some cool things that it will do, but yeah.
Cool.
What else?
Well, Taylor.
This one comes up all the time. Why was Illuminate/HTML dropped from Laravel 5? Because this comes up on WordPress forums like every week. So
there's another half here, and why is Illuminate why are Illuminate components read only on GitHub now? So
all Illuminate components have always been read only on GitHub, and that's because they're actually split every night from the Laravel framework repository. So you would submit a pull request to Laravel framework, and then that code gets automatically split out every night. On the Illuminate HTML thing, I've felt like for years now that like the amount of pull requests and opinions surrounding the HTML generators greatly outweighed their utility, like as a feature of Laravel. So I personally had never really used them that much, but the point was that there were so many opinions surrounding HTML helpers. I wanted to like ship that out to the community and say basically like almost like a capitalism type thing, like y'all can all compete amongst yourselves and you know, have several different variations on how people like to do HTML. Because for example, like I think even Sean, I think you even had a form builder package at one point, and there's been numerous form packages. Some people like to work with forms as objects. Some people like to use just like method helpers like we had. And it was honestly just a constant source of debate. So for me, it was better to ship that out to the community, and then I can focus on things that are more more central to the framework, like the ORM or the routing and stuff like that, and not the HTML generators and stuff.
Do you want to hit this one about the LTS? I know that we have talked about it a number of times on the podcast, but here is quite a bit of attention on this question right here.
Yeah, I still don't have any plans to do an LTS release for Laravel. I just don't. I don't know. It would just be, you know, time-consuming. The releases are already a few years apart, with Laravel 4 being in May 2013. So, you know, and we still like do fixes to Laravel 4, especially if they're anything security related. Which we had something come up the other day. Actually, someone emailed me, and it's not a heavy security fix or anything, but it's something worth fixing, I guess, in Laravel 4. And I'm actually going to fix it in Laravel 4 and Laravel 5. So it's not like Laravel 4 is now neglected and never receives any patches or anything. So I don't know. I have no place to do it, you know. And so, yeah, that's kind of my stance on it for now.
So let's see. Originally, there was talk about controllers just being a plain old PHP object. I think, were you doing traits in the controller?
No, this is back when we were debating having annotations in the core of the framework. And
so that was like October.
Trying to think.
October, November.
Yeah. And I think when we went down the road and actually accomplished that and made Popo controllers available, but I think that at the end of the day, like, the overhead of, I don't know, just the extra steps you had to go through to have a Popo controller class and some of the, like, nice features that you lost kind of outweighed the benefit of having, like, a plain old PHP class as a controller. Because typically, like, we want our controllers to be really light anyway, right, and just kind of serve as an HTTP translation layer into our domain layer or whatever. So it didn't really matter either way, and it just ended up being simpler to keep it. It was more backwards compatible just to keep them how they were, basically, where they extend a base controller class.
Yeah, because if you had gone the Popo route for controllers, what would people have done when they were upgrading for things like before filter and things like that? How would they have brought that back?
Right, you would have had scenario? You would have had to use like a trait or extend a class anyway, and so many people were doing that. Like, it didn't seem really all that reasonable. I think it's a interesting idea, but the benefits just didn't outweigh the cost, so to speak.
I think there's not a lot of conversation about controllers, don't you think? Like, how do you build controllers? How do you name controllers? What do you put in controllers? Yeah. What kind of things do you inject in controllers? How do you do your reads in controllers? No, I think there's like a huge, what would you say, like a hole of information here.
Yeah, there really is.
I guess it makes sense because everybody's doing things differently, but it might be a good place for somebody to start a conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what happened to Whoops? So you're using the Symfony error
system? Yeah, so we're just using the one that ships with the Symfony. I guess it's debug component now. It used to be an HTTP kernel. But, yeah, that's just the Symfony debug component screen. Whoops was not always the most stable project in my mind. And it was just kind of more, there was just more to it in terms of bootstrapping it and setting it up and all that. So it's still very easy to set up Whoops in Laravel 5. In fact, Matt Stouffer has a blog post tutorial. If you go to his blog on how to quickly set it up, I mean, it's only a few lines of code in Laravel 5 to add it. Because we made exception handling, we moved that more into your control in Laravel 5, where in the app folder, we actually have an exception handler class, and you can tap into that and do whatever you want in this render method. So, you know, you can do whatever you want. You can swap out the error handlers really easily. So it's just a lighter setup, really. It's just a more minimal error handler compared to Whoops, which dumps out a lot of environment variables and, you know, code snippets and all that.
Let's see here. Here's an interesting question. Somebody says they liked package development in Laravel 4, but they're a little bit unclear about development in Laravel 5. What is the recommended way to like build that package up?
So Laravel package development has been kind of like this morphing thing throughout the years. And I really feel like there needs to be a good solution at the PHP level for this. And there's been some discussion with people like in the PHP League of Extraordinary Package, whatever, about having like a package, like a package template generator that generates a standard PHP package, and that would have things like a composer file, maybe like a Travis CI file or a PHP unit file or whatever, and would give you like a starting point, basically like Workbench did, because this is not really like a Laravel-specific problem, so I feel like it doesn't need a Laravel-specific solution, because this is something that would benefit all of PHP to have a really good way to kind of bootstrap building a PHP package that you're going to release. So, you know, that still needs to be figured out, I think. And I was really hesitant to keep that in Laravel when I felt like it needed a better PHP solution. And I'm hoping, I mean, the PHP League expressed interest in taking that up, but I don't know if they will or not, you know.
I mean, I'd have to think, like, that's probably a pretty simple project. I feel like that's something somebody could knock out in a day, you know?
Yeah, that's a day-long project.
Yeah, and that really would be useful. Like, mm-hmm. I know for me, like, yeah, especially, like, Workbench was cool. I totally get your point. Like, it just doesn't really make sense. But, like, it was convenient. We need some kind of replacement, and somebody could knock that out in a day, anyone.
I wanted to be able to use Workbench from anywhere on my system, kind of like, Homestead. Just a global tool where I could say, like, yeah, kind of like Homestead, where I could just say Workbench new whatever. And even if I'm not in a Laravel app context at all, but I just have this idea for this generic PHP package that handles, I don't know, some kind of date time thing, like a Carbon package or something that's not tied to any framework or anything like that. It'd be nice just to be able to work on that as a standalone tool. But yeah, if it doesn't get done here or soon, or people don't express a strong interest in it, I might do it as a standalone tool. Yeah, and I agree with you that it's a day-long project if you make it pretty opinionated. Hopefully it doesn't get bogged down like in all kinds of discussions on 50 different options it needs to have and all that. So I don't know.
Can you just, in your composer file, just say, hey, here's this PSR auto-loaded folder and develop your package in there. Once it's ready, just modularize it onto GitHub or however you want to do it.
That's what I've done before. So in a Laravel 5 context, what Sean is saying is you could just make any folder and add it to your composer file and build your package right there. And then once you're ready to break it out onto packages or whatever. But yeah, there's nothing really magical about the package development. It's still just composer-loaded directories, basically.
Yeah, I think it was hard, especially back in the early days of Composer when everything was PSR0, because nobody could ever remember. It's like, all right, you repeat the directory in the vendor, and it's like nobody could remember. So it was nice just to run a command and have it ready to go, perfectly configured. But that's really not an issue anymore.
Yeah. I'll look at it next week, maybe. If nothing's out over the weekend, I'll look at it next week.
Taylor, should we create professional Laravel 5 projects or wait for it to be established?
It is established.
Yeah, Laravel 5 is out, so definitely would be, the recommended version at this point. It's the latest stable release, so yeah, as of yesterday, definitely the recommended version for a new project would be Laravel 5 for sure.
I think some people look at it as like, oh, it just came out. You know, it would be idiotic to your apps at this point.
Okay, I see what he's saying now. Yeah.
But you know what? It's like I. Some people complained that there wasn't a beta, and maybe that's valid. But then at the same time, it's like people were using Laravel 5 for many months at this point. Like this goes back quite a while. So I get the feeling that any big bugs would have been spotted by now. So it's
What's
not like
the beta
it hasn't
exactly.
Been,
in this context, is it like permission to use the master branch? Is
that... Yeah, Laravel 5 was really, so many people were using it way more than we had on the Laravel 4 release. I don't know if you remember, but the Laravel 4 release was not that smooth. Like the day Laravel 4 came out, I think we went through like 4 or 5 patch releases, like in that first day, like 4.0.1, .0.2, .0.3, because of like routing bugs and stuff like that. So Laravel 5 was a much more stable release, and I would consider it much more well-tested and established than Laravel 4 was at the time, for sure. Just in the terms of the amount of people using it and the so much less intrusion into the core code base.
Well, now that you've launched Laravel 5 and Forge is like successfully up and running, what's your next project? I know you've hinted at it a few times, but I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, I've got a few ideas, and I've got some ideas that are pretty far along, really, for some apps that I've built on Laravel 5. Like I mentioned before, I always like to build like app ideas on the next release of Laravel because it's a really good testing ground for the framework itself. So a lot of times those ideas, I try to come up with ideas that would be actually valuable to release. That's kind of like the best of both worlds because I get to build something that's useful to other people and I can launch it, but also kind of beta test the framework at the same time. So I've got some cool stuff lined up, I think, and hopefully I'll be able to ship it out soon, but I don't know. I think it'll be useful. That's really nebulous, but...
Can I take this next question?
Please.
Jeffrey, will there be a series like the Laravel series, something like a reboot with LV5? The Laravel series, like, I have mixed feelings about that. So the Laravel series was like a video series on Laracast that covered building a Facebook clone, but in a very specific way. It was it kind of deals with the idea of like creating commands and using a command bus and handlers. So the idea of that series was to show people, like, if you're building these large apps and you want to use this approach, let's see what that might look like. One of my big worries was, like, I had a lot of people who would, they would, like, learn the basics of Laravel, and then they would go to that. And then they thought, oh, this is how you do it. And it was hard, like, no matter how many times I would say it, it was hard to explain, like, no, this is for when you recognize that you need this approach. In many situations, you just don't need it, especially if you just learned the basics. So that was hard to deal with. In terms of like upgrading that for Laravel 5, no, but we'll do tons of other stuff. On the site right now, I'm finishing up. Like I had to redo the whole fundamental series for beginners. Today, I'm starting something a little more for like seasoned people just to show them like, here's how you did it in Laravel 4. Here's what you do in Laravel 5. And then after that stuff is done, what I want to do is just do a lot of series where we just build stuff, like build little projects, you know, because that's really how you learn the most. You can watch and read books, but it's like until you're just actually coding something, you're not learning as quickly as you could.
So, yeah, I think there's interesting things you can learn. So if you're sitting there and you're programming and it's the way you go about things, your approaches, your ideas, I think that there's a lot to be said for, you know, picking up that stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's a hard people thing to teach in a video. It's very difficult.
Okay, here's kind of a different question. Taylor, if you had a large application with like 30 controllers and repositories, etc., how would you go about structuring your application? How do you put that together?
So Laravel 5 basically represents how I've structured applications in the past. So I don't typically deviate from the Laravel 5 structure, although I do add folders to it. On my latest Laravel 5 project, I added, I think I just added one folder to the Laravel 5, which was an app contracts folder where I could put some interfaces for various outside services I was using. Other than that, I just use the standard Laravel 5 directory structure. In my just so people have an idea, one thing I do is in my services folder, I actually make a services/vendor folder, which is more like where I would put anything that interacts with like the GitHub API or Mailgun API or outside APIs. Like I call those vendor APIs because they're not really under my control or whatever, and they're not really they interact with outside services. And then I'll have other classes in my services directory that are more like internal services that do logic or whatever. But as far as the overall structure goes, I keep it pretty straightforward. I don't typically work on applications large enough where I feel like I need to break out things in this kind of structure where it's like app/user/user repository/user entity/user registration service, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I tend to keep it with the more default structure, though I'm not saying that's a bad structure. But just how I do things, I tend to stick with the default Laravel 5 structure. And it works pretty well on the apps I've built so far. But, Taylor, of course, you'll always have to evaluate, you know, your situation.
I'm curious. So if really the only folder that you add is a contracts folder, where would you put something like related to billing? So you need to bill your users. Like, where would that go? See, like for me, like I have a built-in folder with an app. What do you do?
Really? I usually would put it under like the app services billing or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, I would probably still have a billing namespace perhaps, but I would just put it under app services.
Okay.
But like, but the nice thing about Laravel 5 is since it's PSR4 on that whole app folder, whereas with Laravel 3-4 had kind of that magic auto-loading thing with like the models directory and then the controllers directory, and it was not like a standard auto-loading setup. The nice thing with Laravel 5 is since it's all PSR4, your doors are totally wide open in terms of how you structure things, which is nice.
Yeah, totally. Like as an example for Laracast, I have a forum, but I make that completely separate from the actual application. So I have a PSR4 auto-loading for specifically forum, and then I have the main one that would be for Laracast. And that way it's like you can do whatever you want, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I treat the namespace folders as kind of like a boundary. So I might have a membership namespace, and inside that goes my account member. Whatever related objects go to that. And then let's say I'm doing GitHub API something or another, and I actually have maybe a GitHub folder, and I have all of the stuff I need in there. So I tried to separate those out. Yeah. One thing I really don't like doing is when people, you know, have like a models folder and a repositories folder and all these different folders, I really like putting those all together where they're used. I feel like if I have to do a whole lot of namespace importing, maybe that's telling me that I'm not like cohesively binding these constructs, right? Because like a lot of times, like in another language, like let's just say Scala or something, you might have an A star or a specific file for an algorithm, and then have a whole bunch of classes and objects and stuff in there for that algorithm. And your IDE is able to parse all that out and do everything really easily. But PHP, we have this thing where one file represents like one construct. So I try to treat it the same as other languages, kind of treat the concept of cohesively binding elements together, but in the more PHP spun way.
Yeah.
Okay. If somebody was, they considered themselves a more intermediate developer, how could they contribute to the framework? How could somebody who considers himself an intermediate developer be useful to your efforts in building Laravel?
Mainly, I mean, just going through the GitHub issues and solving an issue is, of course, a really obvious way to contribute. You know, you can, and there's other ways to contribute. You can contribute to the Laravel framework repository, which would be like the core framework code. And that's as easy as just if you have an issue, of course, you can fix it yourself. But then you could also look through the issues and find one that looks about your skill level or something you think you can tackle. And then you can either confirm it or whatever and see if it really is an issue and then fix it if you have the ability to and submit a pull request. You can also contribute to the Laravel documentation, which is github.com/Laravel/docs. So you can contribute there if you don't feel like there's an issue that you can tackle. You can add to the docs or fix problems with the documentation or whatever. So those are a couple of easy ways to get started, I would say.
So I'm getting a lot of questions about education, basically. People are asking for books and tutorials for Laravel 5, and I happen to know a place where you can get a whole ton of tutorials for Laravel 5. I don't know any books. Actually, yeah. I did see a book. Somebody actually had a book ready on day one.
Yeah, it was called Easy Laravel. I don't know anything about it, but yeah, that came out the same day.
Yeah, I think it might be a cookbook.
No idea.
I'm not sure.
Seemed like it just kind of covered the basics, like how do you do authentication? How do you work with form? You know, kind of what you would expect for an introductory book. So it might be worth checking out. I assume Dale will update his book at some point. What do you think, Taylor?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's working on it. Last I heard, he was.
Well, don't dawdle, Dale. There's not much time left.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It's like it just came out, and if you really think about it, there's a ton already. Like Laracast has tons. There's a book out. Matt Stover, like he he's crazy. Like, he is the only person that kind of tackles some of this stuff way quicker than I do, because I like to be pretty quick. He will have it, like, in hours. Like, Taylor will post something, and then he'll have a little article on how to use it pretty quickly. So actually, there's a good bit of education out. Go to the forums, like the Laravel.io forums, the Laracast forums. People are talking about it nonstop. Larachat, sign up for Larachat. People are talking about that nonstop. So there's actually a lot of resources at this point.
There are so many more resources in there. Where was Laracast when we launched Laravel 4? Was Laracast out yet or no?
Well, you tell me. I'm pretty sure it was out. Laracast launched in October of 2013.
Okay, so Laravel 4 came out in May of 2013. So when Laravel 4 came out, Laracast had not launched yet. So there's so much more learning material out there now than there was when Laravel 4 came out.
Yeah, there really is. And actually, I'm going to plug myself. The Laravel 5 Fundamental series on Laracast is free, like, for anyone. So you don't have to pay for any of that. And it's going to be like 30 videos. It'll tell you everything you need to know if you're getting started with Laravel.
So that's getting started with Laravel 5 or adapting Laravel 4 users?
Very much for getting started. Like, there will be another one for adapt. Yeah, it's like, that was the hard thing is, like, the way I would speak to somebody who already understands kind of modern PHP and Laravel is not how I would teach somebody how to use Laravel. So, like, they need to be sort of separate. So this one is very much like, hey, all right, you're coming over from Take or another language. Here's how you would get started. But for people who actually use Laravel, yeah, there's some other stuff coming. Starting today, actually.
Cool. Well, people want to help translate Laravel docs. What's the easiest way to help with that?
I don't know what the easiest way to do that would be. I need to research how other people, other frameworks do that, I guess. It would be pretty challenging because the Laravel, I mean, but just in terms of pull requests and contributions and fixes, so it would require quite a bit of effort, I feel like, to do it. But, you know, if that's a project someone wants to tackle, managing all that, then go for it.
Seems like worst case scenario, right? You just put up a site with your translated documentation. And maybe make the repository public and let other people help you manage that. I think if you're right, it's kind of a difficult to organize thing, right?
Yeah, you'd have to find a way to sync them. Like every time a PR went through for the main docs, that would have to like be updated, or else you end up with all these translations where they're massively outdated, which is probably what would happen in real life.
Right.
Probably. Yeah.
It's kind of hard without, like, an actual organization handling all this minutia.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that wouldn't bring a lot of challenges of its own.
Yeah. We should also talk about Laracon, too, while we're here.
Yeah, let's talk about Laracon. What do you have to say about Laracon, Taylor?
Because that you know, Laravel 5 was announced yesterday, but all the Laracon stuff came out the day before. At both sites with more unified branding and kind of marketing efforts, and I think this is going to be a crazy year for Laracon. I think it's going to be a big year. I think we both have really good venues this year for Laracon, and we're kind of hitting our stride for figuring out what we want Laracon to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about what it turns out to be this year. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that Laracon is kind of becoming this like one thing with different branches, like different regional touches, and so we can share a lot of responsibility and share a lot of vision and kind of come up with something that, you know, speaks to the community. Because I think the thing about Laracon is it's yes, it's a technology thing. Yes, it's a Laravel thing, a PHP thing, but it all comes back in a lot of ways just to the community. So making something specifically representative of that is, I think, really important to us. And I think unifying kind of the whole concept into one event that's taking place in multiple places in the world is really interesting. But I'm so excited. We're putting so much work to make this event different. We don't want to do the same thing year in, year after year. So we're going to announce some interesting stuff coming up, and it should be pretty interesting.
So how do you think, what do we do to make Laravel or Laracon this unique experience? Because I feel like we actually put a lot of attention to detail into Laracon on both sides, US, and we always try to make Laracon like this special event, I think, that's different from other conferences. And so what would you say, like, what is your philosophy of conferences? Like, what are we trying to really do here?
So I look at various conferences, and I notice they each have kind of their own thing going on. And what I don't want to be is like this pure entertainment, like this show where people go and they kind of just party. And I don't want to be this pure commercial entity thing where people go and kind of do sit in an office. I want it to be enriching to everyone who's there. So in the ways I'd like it to be enriching are make personal contacts. And these contacts are incredibly valuable. And I think that just saying them, if people hear that, they don't necessarily get the idea that I have when I think of it. I think that by communicating with other people who are kind of like you in what they do, but also different, you have this experience, this diversity, and you actually get a lot of professional and personal value back. I think that that's probably the number one thing that you get from these events. But then, yeah, you know, we have the thing where we're trying to curate content. So what do we feel is going to be relevant for the next year? How do we present this information that will give people, you know, a good firm understanding kind of where our community, where our sector, our industry, and everything are going? That's really important to me, too. When you're designing your program, I imagine you're thinking a lot of these same things. You're thinking, you know, I really want to inform, yeah, but of course we have a wide variety of people to try to please. And so do you kind of segment your program up and say, okay, I'm having these kind of speakers talk on these kind of topics and these kind of speakers talk on these type of topics? Or what are you thinking when you're doing that?
Yeah, I've thought about that some. So one thing we're trying to do, let me talk about kind of the overall event first and then the speakers specifically. One thing that I'm trying to do this year is really give good opportunity for really great social experiences at Laracon. And that's we're kind of doing that in a variety of ways. But one way is it was a really big deal for me this year to – I want the venue to be reserved later into the day so that people – don't feel rushed to leave right after the conference, and they can mingle around for several hours after the conference with drinks and refreshments and stuff, and then can go do whatever other social activities, restaurants or whatever. So we're trying to allow more time for that. And then, so that's kind of our social aspect we're really trying to focus on this year. But then in terms of the speakers, I think that probably you feel the same way. We don't want Laracon to be a series of Laravel tutorials that you could easily Google, or even, you know, no offense to Laracast, which is awesome, but we don't want it to be necessarily like an in-person Laracast, so to speak, because I think we're interested in presenting like bigger topics than just here's an easy way to do authentication in Laravel at Laracon, because that's something that you can go to Laracast and learn really easily. So we like to present kind of new and unique things. For example, you know, things that are going to affect you as a professional developer when technology changes, or when you're not even using PHP anymore. Can we present information that's valuable to you and that makes an impact on your life even then? So, yeah, of course we want to have Laravel talks, and there will be Laravel-specific talks, tech talks. Probably I will do a talk specifically on Laravel things and tech-related things. But then also bringing in these speakers that can give you you know, these big talks, like, you know, on a variety of topics that are relevant to professional developers, not just Laravel or PHP developers.
Yeah, I think the concept of enriching everybody who participates is really important. So, you know, we try to focus on issues that are relevant to our scene and relevant to the people who come. So, I think we're in a really interesting position in that we really kind of know a lot about the people who attend. I think that, you know, we get to know a lot of the people who are coming, and so that's really helpful. And also, I really like the fact that, for example, we aren't kind of just hiring an organizer, and I don't have any problem with people hiring an organizer. I just think that being able to make all the decisions carefully over the course of a year and plan for the event and kind of handcraft it all is really kind of special for us. So to me, Laracon is more of a labor of love than anything. So I think that people see that when they come to our events. And I definitely want this year to be, I want the people who came last year to come away from this year saying, wow, that was the best one yet.
When you guys are taking in these tickets, do you have any way to measure sort of the skill level of who's coming to these conferences? Because obviously that has the big effect. Are they more beginner oriented? Are we dealing with more professional developers? Is there any way to measure that?
I don't know that that's possible. We could ask them.
We've on that topic though, we have discussed having a survey for what kinds of talks people are interested in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunities to get information from people, see what kind of topics they have been interested in lately. But it does take time to plan. So let's say we're doing all this in August. So Laracon US, Taylor, what's the dates exactly?
11th and 12th of August.
And so in Amsterdam, we are on the 25th and 26th. So that's, you know, this is February now, and we have to get everybody lined up, get travel plans figured out, you know, make sure that all that's figured out. So it's not like we can wait until the last 2 months, you know, and kind of book everybody to get their opinion. So we can ask people what they're into now and kind of infer. And I think that's a lot of the art is trying to curate really good content that people are going to appreciate. And, you know, you don't want to have a bunch of talks go to a crowd that's really not interested. That would be a pretty big problem. But I think there's a lot of art there, and it's important that, like, for example, Taylor and we are close to the community enough to get an idea of what's going on. If we became estranged from the community, then I think a lot of this stuff would fall apart. So let's see. Did you want to say anything else about Laracon? I do know that we are going to make a couple announcements in the next couple business days that are going to be pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about it, but we're kind of doing the last bit of legwork to make sure everything's lined up.
That's definitely get your tickets. Tickets are selling at a much higher pace than previous years, I think, on both sides. So, definitely get your tickets and all that. And then also, I think also, you know, with Laracon EU and Laracon US, I think we're going to be releasing information at kind of in unison and at similar times. So likewise for Laracon US, we should have some more announcements in terms of, like hotel accommodations and speaker proposals and stuff like that in the next few days.
Yeah. Like you said, our ticket sales are actually going really fast, and there's a very limited window for those early bird tickets. So especially if you don't have somebody like your boss or somebody to buy those tickets for you, if you want to get those early bird prices, the windows is going to be closed. We actually sold like half of our early bird tickets in 30 hours, I think. So
wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I would recommend getting on that. And I expect, again, when we make our announcement, that the rest of them are going to be gone basically shortly after that. So act fast. Let's see here. Here's a kind of a question about a paradigm shift to move to modular development with Laravel 5. The idea is you're kind of farming out development to the communities, like the HTTP and Workbench. What would be the top 5 list of modules you would like to see the community lead? That's an interesting question. So,
go.
Yeah,
Taylor,
top
go.
Five.
Go. Go.
Gosh, let me think. I don't know, you know. When I moved, we moved out HTML, and then we moved out Illuminate Remote, which in hindsight was always a bad idea to have that SSH component like baked into Laravel. And a lot of that was because of what I was doing with Forge and stuff like that. But then, you know, so obviously HTML, Remote, Workbench, I think would be in there as a third one to be community-led, and that's not even necessarily a Laravel community thing, but just an easy way to get started with packages. You know, and just that's the only ones that come to mind right now. I feel like all the other stuff in the core feels pretty good. There was no other components that I really considered removing, I don't think. I feel like they're all pretty good. So, yeah, that sounds about right, you know, HTML remote and package kind of management.
It's kind of interesting because at this point in time, the question might be, what features would you like to see in Laravel 5? Because as software developers, I think we fundamentally don't want more features. We're like, no, we're not developing new features. Right. We want to make the features, yeah. We want to make the software extendable. We don't want to add features. Is that kind of how you feel about Laravel 5 now?
Yeah, in a way. Like we're very hesitant to add on big new features and also to just kind of like continually pile on features to existing stuff that could be otherwise easily extended. I feel like Laravel is still a pretty nice tight set of features and works really well for a lot of use cases. But yeah, there's so much stuff that could be done via packages too that I feel like is, you know, still a really untapped what people could really be doing there. So you know, play with the package system and come up with cool stuff to add to the you know, these optional things to the framework, and we don't have to really clutter up the core of it too much.
So Taylor, someone asked, where can we get one of those stuffed animals like the one behind you on your sofa?
There was a Kickstarter for these elephants. Let me get my elephant here. So this is a prototype of the Laravel PHP elephant. It has PHP on one side and Laravel on the other. And there was actually a Kickstarter for these a while back, but I ordered quite a few extras. And I think the guy that manages the Kickstarter, he ordered quite a few extras too. So I know that there will be some extras available. If you missed the Kickstarter, you should be able to buy them. On either a website, and I think we're even going to bring some to Laracon. So if you come to Laracon, you can buy one in person, get it signed by Jeffrey Way. He can kiss it, everything. So
I don't want to get lipstick on it.
He's going to kiss it. It's red, so you have to use a different color of lipstick.
Yeah, I'll pick something different. So you guys are set up there.
Well, that's fun.
Awkward. What else?
Let's see here. So someone asked, what's the rationality of removing the event and route annotations in Laravel 5? That was just moved off into a separate package, right?
Right. That was moved off. That is now maintained by Adam, and I'm going to butcher his last name. I'm just going to call him Artisan Goose because is his Twitter name. But his first name is Adam, and he is maintaining the route annotations and event annotations package. I moved it out because I don't know. I tried to use it in a fairly sizable project, and I didn't feel like it really fit my style or how I felt like things should work. But I do recognize that a lot of people really like them, so I wanted to keep it available as a package. And, you know, and like we were just talking about, it is just one more thing that would have to be maintained, right, in terms of the core framework, and it would inevitably have opinions on how things should work and changes that people want to see, and that's kind of like one more bucket of pull requests and issues that would be on GitHub. So I think it made more sense to let the community manage that. And there's actually been an effort, I should say, to start a GitHub organization, which I think they just announced yesterday, to maintain these kinds of things so that the HTML component and the remote component and the annotations will be on this one GitHub organization and will be a central place for the community to kind of maintain those things. So Definitely check out that.
Now, I want you guys to answer. I want both of you to answer this question. And just kind of be fair. How can I convince my colleague slash boss to choose Laravel 5 over another PHP framework for an important new project? What I'm hearing is, what, in your opinion, makes Laravel 5 maybe a better fit for this person's project than another?
These are hard, you know, like, because... fine, you go, Taylor.
Well, and this is coming from my extremely biased position, but I think Laravel has really great modern features for web applications in terms of the routing is really clean, the dependency injection throughout is really nice for building your maintainable applications, the queue system is nice for modern web applications, which
does
is unique.
Does anybody else have a queue system?
No,
yeah,
that's unique.
Rails does. Like, but they were late. Like, I think Laravel was kind of first.
Laravel was like...
Yeah, and Rails 4.2, they added kind of a unified queue component. But, yeah, I think Laravel was first in that area.
Yeah, and that's, in PHP, that's going to be unique. But then... and then also, it's not just like a technical thing, right? There's so much support from the community in terms of Laracast and people that are involved and conferences and all that, that there's a lot of value there outside of any technical considerations where your entire team, and I'm not getting paid for this, but, you know, Jeffrey has business for Laracast where you can get your entire team on Laracast. You've got tons of videos, the forums, both Laravel.io and Laracast forums. And there's just a plethora of resources really for learning this framework combined with the fact that it has very nice modern PHP features. So I think that's kind of like the 1-2 punch for me is the modernness of it and kind of the forward thinking of it that we've always tried to have, and then also the support from the community and the educational side with Laracast and other avenues.
And then, like, for me, I would say so much of it from personal experience comes down to how does it feel. I talked about this on No Capes a few days ago. It's like when I first started using Laravel, it just felt right. And that's pretty rare, especially at the time when it came out, and considering some of the other like options and frameworks that are available, they all felt like confusing and overly difficult. And then I started using Laravel and it was like, man, this just feels right. And even better, just the common things that you need to do for like most of the huge majority of applications, it was like the problem had already been solved for you. So it's like, I feel like Laravel is specifically for people where it's like, you just want to get stuff done. You want to build stuff. You know, that's your main goal. And for that, it just works beautifully. So, but like, I think the truth is there's a lot of tools that'll get the job done. It's not like, I mean, I don't know if we're talking about in the PHP world specifically, why would you recommend Laravel over something else? But you can do great work in plenty of frameworks and plenty of languages. So at the end of the day, it's sort of like, what feels right to you? That's more important than anything in my mind.
Yeah. The community is so valuable in terms of, you know, there are hundreds of people in the community and in the chat rooms and the forums that are passionate about building really good applications on Laravel, and they want to help other people build really great applications on Laravel too. And I think that's something that we're passionate about as well. So it's just a great place to develop, and also in addition to the educational and technical resources, but you'll meet so many great people as well, I feel like, which is really cool. And I feel like sort of unique in terms of frameworks that we have such a robust community of people that are really passionate about discussing the framework and discussing ideas about how to use the framework and all that. So it's a really cool group to be a part of.
Yeah, I think many times the community like makes all the difference. It's like, imagine that there was a competitor to Laravel that was equally as good. If it didn't have that community around it, it's like, well, you know what? When it comes to that point where you kind of need help with how to do something, there's no one to ask. You know, there just isn't the community there. With Laravel, it's like, it's massive. Go to Larachat. It's huge. Like, I'm blown away by how active that is. And it's fairly new. Go to the forums. Like, my Laracast forums, I can't believe how active it is. It's like every day there's dozens and dozens and dozens of new threads full of people just trying to build better applications. I think that speaks volumes. So the community is fantastic.
Yeah, there's 615 people in the Laravel IRC channel right now. Just
yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, yeah, that's crazy.
I happen to know, like, what happens is some people will come in there, they'll ask questions, somebody will answer their question, they'll stick around, and then the next time somebody comes in and asks that question, they're the first person in there saying, hey, you know, here's some information. So it kind of spreads like a virus there. I think people love, helping out, and that's why that channel is so huge. It's because you can come in, you can get your answer, your questions answered, and when you help people, it's almost like karma equity, right? The more people see you helping people, maybe, they're like, oh yeah, I'm really into this person for helping so much, and it's also just like a really inclusive environment. So. I'm with Jeffrey, and then a lot of it's a feel thing, but I think the community aspect is probably the most compelling to me.
Yeah, I mean, for comparison, the Ruby on Rails IRC channel right now has 398 people, and the Laravel channel has 617. And Rails is a bigger framework. Like, there's no discussion that Rails is more popular than Laravel, but it just goes to show you, like, the passion of the community. I think that there's a lot of people that want to be involved on a daily basis with each other in building these applications.
Okay, well, we have a lot of really good questions. I think we're about at time, but we have a few minutes left if either of you want to say anything specific while we're still here.
Thanks for all your support on Laravel, and thanks for using Laravel and embracing Laravel 5 and being patient while it was developed. And, you know, I hope everyone enjoys it and enjoys Laracon and all that good stuff. So thanks to the community.
Yeah, I really hope to see you at either Louisville or Amsterdam in August.
Thanks.
Definitely.
All right, see you, everyone.
Bye, guys.
All right, see you. Bye.
Okay, bye.